listening to Package Your Genius, a conversation designed to give you clarity on your calling and serve as a catalyst for your career. I'm your host, Amanda Miller Littlejohn. Package Your Genius. I'm so excited to be back here with you on this beautiful autumn day. I've been really enjoying the change in the seasons. The leaves are starting to change here in Washington, D.C., and the weather's getting crisper, so my blowout is holding a little longer. I know that's not the best reason to look forward to autumn, but I think this is my favorite season. Yeah, it's my favorite season. Autumn is my favorite season just because of the drama of the whole thing. The colors, the wind, the slight chill in the air, you know, the comfort with which I can enjoy a hot beverage outside. Like, it's a whole thing and I'm really getting into it. But I wanted to come today and share with you an insight that I had during a recent executive coaching session. So in addition to my work with Package Your Genius Academy cohort, I do have some executive coaching clients whom I work with to help them really hone in on their leadership styles and stay authentic to themselves as they ascend. And I'm working with a client who is really amazing, she was recently promoted to a senior level role in her organization. And we've been kind of going back and forth about how she can find her place in her new role and really kind of reach that equilibrium now that she's been elevated. And during one of our sessions, we were talking about the goals that she has both for herself and for her team in the next few months. And then ultimately, what are her goals for herself professionally overall? And she mentioned a couple of her goals. And to me, they sounded like goals that she kind of had already reached. And so I was probing her about what did she feel was keeping her from being ready for the next level that she saw herself at, right? So, you know, a couple of her goals were just, you know, the role that she, or the ultimate title she sees herself holding in the future. And, you know, being ready for that title, being ready to step into that next level was one of her goals. And I asked, well, you know, why aren't you ready now? I mean, not to say that you are ready now, but why do you think you're not ready now? And she said that she felt like she needed to be more of a people pleaser and just kind of do a better job of like massaging relationships and working with people and, you know, temper her directness, right? Like her delivery, her style, her communication style, and just really be able to navigate the people aspect of the organizational culture. And that's been a struggle for her. And so I probed her about, you know, why she felt like that was important. And it was interesting because she said that, you know, the people who are currently in positions that she eventually sees herself in, those are some of the traits that they have, right? So they're more of the people pleasers. They have more of a way with people. They're not as direct as she is, right? And so she had begun to dial down her own directness, which was a struggle for her. It was not authentic to who she was, and it was really kind of affecting her confidence and just her ability to feel at home in the new role, which is already kind of, you know, tough because you are in a new role. So you're trying to find your way. You're trying to make yourself at home. You're trying to see how it all fits and how you are going to do it, especially if you are going to do it differently from the person who maybe held the role before you did. And so she was, you know, looking forward, looking at people who she thought had it all together or who were more senior to her, and kind of saying, okay, you know, well, if this person has succeeded and they are at this place, they have this quality that I don't have or I don't see myself as having. So that's the missing piece for me to be ready to step into that position or to that level of leadership, into my next level, which is, I think, a very logical assumption, right? Like, we look at the people who are in the places we see ourselves ascending to, and we ask ourselves, where are we? How do we measure up? If I were to make a checklist of the qualities they have, the traits that they have, the responsibilities that they have, am I fulfilling those same responsibilities? Do I have those same qualities and traits? And so as we kind of tally up the difference, we start to assess ourselves and say, okay, this is what I need to change about myself. But what I challenged her on was, instead of looking at this inability or this underdeveloped sense of people pleasing or this underdeveloped, I guess, communication skill, or you could flip it to say a highly developed skill with direct communication, instead of looking at that as something to change, what if we looked at it as the thing that we need to go all in on? Like, what if this thing, this trait that you see as your character flaw, is actually your magic, right? What if the thing that frustrates people and ruffles their feathers about you is the thing that they actually need the most? You know, people might complain about you being disruptive because it's uncomfortable to be disrupted. But what if they desperately need to be disrupted in order to get to where they're trying to go? And so we talked about that. And for her, it was really a revelation to consider how, you know, this trait that she had begun to mute in her interactions was really at the heart of all of her previous success, which I thought was fascinating. And that's why I had to share this with you. You know, this thing that she had begun to strategize around excluding from her personality and her leadership style, if she were to look back over her life, personally and professionally, this trait, this ability to be direct, was at the heart of some of her most powerful personal and professional moments. And so my thesis was that this thing that you're trying to muffle and mute is the thing that you need to turn up the volume on. This is the thing that we need to dial up instead of dialing down. And I wanted to share that with you because when you think about your personal brand and how you show up in the world and how you communicate who you are and how you do your job and how you work with your clients, how you connect at networking events, how you speak to people. So often we get in our heads and we fixate on a character that has separated us from other people. So the thing that has, you know, driven a wedge between us and the people that we may want to feel close to, maybe it's the thing that's driven a wedge between us and the way that we want to feel, right? Like, we want to feel normal. We want to feel accepted. We want to feel a part. And this character trait, and sometimes we see it as a character flaw, is the thing that we think is holding us back or keeping us from the connection, the success, the acceptance that we crave the most. So for me, I started to think, just after my session with her, I started to think about my own traits/flaws. What would I consider to be the things that I'm frustrated with myself about, or that other people I perceive as the things that other people don't like about me, or what do I feel separates me from others when I'd rather feel like I am a part of the group. So one thing that I say sometimes is I think too much, right? Like I'm too serious. I'm a deep thinker. And while obviously I enjoy thinking and it's a part of who I am, I even just recently found out that if you look at StrengthsFinders, I have, I think, four of my five strengths are in the strategic thinking domain. So for me, thinking is just life, right? Like I think all the time, and I've always been this way. I think deeply about everything, everyone. I'm always thinking. And sometimes my husband says, get out of your head, you know, you're overthinking this. I mean, literally, I am the overthinker. I think about scenarios in much more detail than I think most people do. And sometimes thinking can be a prison because I am in my head so much that can lead to anxiety. That can lead to coming up with situations and scenarios that are just not true. So I will go down the rabbit hole and think a whole, you know, conversation or a whole thought process that you've had and you haven't even thought about the situation, but I'm thinking, I'm overthinking, I'm thinking for you, right? So you're not thinking about me, you're not thinking about us, but I'm thinking for you, for me, for the whole situation. I've come up with a scenario, decided what you decided and what you came up with in your head, and that's why we're not talking, or that's why you don't want to come to the event, or that's why, you know, you don't want to hire me, or whatever the case may be, right? And so I really have to temper that. I really have to dial myself back in terms of overdoing it with the overthinking. And I have in the past been known to kind of think that, literally think that my thinking is, I don't know, strange, or it's made me uncomfortable because I feel like I want to just be the life of the party sometimes. I want to just feel free and uninhibited and, not have to think of everything I say before I say it, and not think of everything that you might be thinking before you say whatever you're going to say, and to just not be in my head so much. And so that kind of focus on thinking has made me feel sometimes like it's just easier to withdraw or to not talk to people because I'm thinking way too much about everything, right? Like it's hard to relax. So you really have to focus on just like being present. Like I really have to work at sometimes being present in the moment because it's just easy for me to get lost in my thoughts. And I've always been this way, right? And so on the one hand, I could say thinking too much is weird. Amanda, it's weird that you think all the time. Like, why are you thinking about that? And like, why are you always thinking instead of laughing? Why are you so serious instead of just being lighthearted and fun and thinking, you know, this is funny. These silly things or crass things are funny. Like, why are you thinking about, you know, the impact that this is going to have on the environment? Like you throwing this spoon away or using this piece of plastic. Like, why are you thinking so much? Right? And I thought about that, like how I have even like persecuted myself for thinking too much. And then I considered, what if I didn't think, right? Like, what are all of the things that thinking so deeply and so often and so naturally and innately, what are the things that that allows me to do? If I didn't think so much, I wouldn't be able to generate the content that I generate. I wouldn't be able to generate the insights that I generate during my coaching conversations. If I didn't think so much, I wouldn't be able to develop frameworks and curriculum for personal branding or for whatever it is that I'm working on at the moment. If I didn't think so much, I wouldn't be able to give the most amazing advice because if you are in my life personally, you know I give really good advice. And I always tell one of my friends, like, my batting average is pretty high. So whenever she comes to me with like a big decision about a job or a guy, I always remind her of the major decisions that I've advised her on in the past. And I am always right. But if I didn't think so much, I probably wouldn't, I wouldn't have so many different scenarios to draw on to even make the recommendations that I make, because I'm always thinking, right? And so, and then, like, you know, if you think about this podcast, right, this is really just an exercise in thinking out loud. And even my ability to connect with you on the other side, wherever you are in the world or in your life, if I didn't think so much and have so much going on in my head, I don't think I would be inspired or motivated to sit here and record into the void, because I don't know who is going to end up hearing this. But I'm driven and just compelled, frankly, by the activity in my head, in my brain, and just kind of wanting to give myself an outlet for all of my thoughts. But if I didn't think so much, I don't think I'd be able to have this podcast, and I wouldn't in turn be able to connect with you, which I think is interesting, because on the one hand, I've told myself that by thinking so much, I drive myself away from people. But then by embracing that I think so much and then creating something like this podcast experience, I'm connecting with people that I may have never had the opportunity to connect with simply because I went all in on this idea of thinking, right? And so that was just one example of the things that I've thought about in the past that, you know, I tried to dial down. Like, I've tried to be lighter, you know, like light is just not a word that I would use to describe myself. And it's funny because just the other day I had coffee with my son and, you know, we were just talking about like being yourself. I was actually kind of telling him about this client conversation, you know, in as much as he could understand. But I was trying to give him an example of, you know, if you don't feel, if there are things about you that you feel separate you from others, but they're the things that come so naturally as breathing, and they make you feel good, and you're always drawn to them or gravitating towards them, and that's just who you are, then embrace it, because it could be the key that unlocks everything that you want. So instead of seeing yourself as different and seeing the things that make you different as liabilities, see them as strengths. See them as the thing that make you unique and that can help you get whatever it is that you want. So I was kind of telling him the example with the client, and then I was telling him about myself. And I said, you know, I think I've been intense. Like, that's a word I would use to describe myself. I'm just an intense person. And I've been that way since I was a child. Like, if I love you, I love you hard. If I don't like you, I'm indifferent. Like, I don't even notice you. But if you're in my life and I do notice you, you know that you're in my life, right? And, you know, if I study something, I study it intensely. I don't, like, I have a really hard time with surface, light, small talk, like anything that's just kind of room temperature. I don't do well with room temperature things. And when I give something my attention, I either don't give it anything, any attention at all, or I give it my all and I'm really into it, or else I just can't maintain my own attention. I lose interest. And so I was telling my son this about myself, and I told him that as a child, I remember once I discovered jazz, I think I was 12 or 13, but I remember I would, first, I discovered some albums in my parents' record collection. It's like this John Coltrane album, The Gentle Side of John Coltrane, which is hands down favorite. It's like a slow ballad. Oh, it's beautiful. So if you like jazz, or even if you don't, find The Gentle Side of John Coltrane and just like light a candle and slow dance. Like, it's amazing. But anyway, 12, 13, I discovered this album and I'm like, oh my God, I love this music. Like, it speaks to me. And then around that time, I started listening to this late night jazz broadcast out of MTSU. And it was Jazz with Bob Parlocha. And it came on, I think, 9 p.m. And I would usually be up studying from like 9 to at least midnight. And so I would listen to the jazz. And I found that I could listen to instrumental music and focus. But if I listened to music that had lyrics or words or people singing, I would start singing, right? Or I'd start saying the words to the song instead of focusing on whatever it is I was reading or if I was doing calculus or whatever. So the jazz station was really great for me, and it was a study tool, basically. But I fell in love with this music, and I just kind of, you know, true to my intense nature, studied it and just became, I went all in with it, right? It's like intense music for this intense child / teenager. And I can tell you that at the time, most 12, 13, 14-year-olds were not listening to, you know, the music of dead musicians from the 60s. Like, they weren't listening to Miles Davis or John Coltrane. Like, that was not cool, right? And I liked popular music, too. I did. But I had this love for jazz. And I felt like it really spoke to my true self. And I used to say I was born in the wrong time, because if I had been born earlier, I would have totally fit in because I could have gone to these jazz shows and this would have been popular music, even though I actually don't think it was popular music. It was still kind of on the fringe even when it was current music. But anyway, and so I remember I used to think that like my taste in music separated me from other people. And I would even hide it to some degree. Like, as I got a little older and I was like 18, 19, 20, I realized, oh, it's not cool to like sit in your room and listen to jazz and like write in your journal and like outline your future novel. That's kind of weird, right? But obviously, I kept listening to it and I stayed true to me. But I always kind of felt like it was something that separated me from others. And then fast forward, you know, some of the dearest friends, even my husband, and just people that I've connected with are people that I connected with over a love of this music. And it was something that they accepted about me and didn't judge me for. And, you know, I realized that, like, I just have to do me. And if people are not feeling whatever it is that I'm feeling, it doesn't even necessarily mean that we can't be friends or that we can't connect. It just means that that particular thing doesn't necessarily fit for them. But I was telling my son about being intense and how I used to try to temper it and even, I guess, appear as though I weren't so intense. But it just never worked. It never felt right. And I was never happy pretending to be something I wasn't. And so I just allowed myself to be the intense Amanda that I am. And I think that that, along with thinking and I guess other things about me, I have to think about some more of the traits that I have felt separated me from others instead of connected me to others. But that that thinking and that trait has led to my life's work. Like, I wouldn't be able to do the things I do if I were trying to live a surface life. If I were fine with surface relationships, I wouldn't have the depth in my friendships that I have if I were satisfied with surface relationships. And, you know, I remember talking to someone I went to high school with recently, and he said, you know, you were always a person who knew exactly who you were. Like, so many of us were trying to figure out who are we and what do we stand for and what are we about, and you always knew. And I think it's funny because at the time, I probably felt like being so self-assured, or at least having such very defined likes and dislikes and liking things that, you know, I don't like jazz because someone told me it was cool. I like it because I like it and it speaks to me. And that's just what it is. And I think that at the time I probably thought being so sure of certain things and certain aspects of my identity that were not mainstream separated me from everyone else. And to some degree, I think it did. But I think it's interesting to hear that people admired that about me, and I didn't know that. And so my point of all of this is the things that you are fixating on, and maybe you're considering these aspects of your character flaws, maybe they are things that other people admire about you. maybe they're the thing, the missing piece that other people need in order to reach their goals. And so by you muting it and taking it away, you're taking away the opportunity for people to have and get what they need through you. It's not always comfortable. It's not always going to feel good to be 100% yourself, especially if whatever trait it is that you know, you have that you've potentially considered a flaw in the past, if it's butting up against what people want to do, right? So, for example, my client is direct and, you know, by saying things that people don't necessarily want to hear, but they need to hear in order to reach their goals, it doesn't feel good in the moment. But if they stick around in a year, they'll look back and say, "We're so glad that we listened to you." And so I wanted to share that with you as I just, you know, have insights and aha moments. I want you to have them too, if possible. I just thought it was so powerful for her to see that the very thing that she wanted to deny about herself was the thing that had been there all along and it had gotten her as far as she'd gotten. And if she had not had that trait, she would not be elevated to the space that she is now. And I want you to reflect on that. The traits that you have that you may have, maybe you diminished them some time ago. Maybe you don't feel at home in yourself right now. Maybe it's because you let go of a part of yourself that is essential to your survival and it's essential to you thriving in the world, right? If I let go of being a thinker, if I let go of being intense, then who am I? If being a thinker and being intense is what's gotten me this far, who am I to let go of it now? I hope that was helpful to you. I will be back with more from my series on Package Your Genius, the 5 steps to build your most powerful personal brand, talking about making the case. But for now, I want to end on that note and wish you a fabulous rest of your week. Again, final plug. Well, not final plug. I'm not going to say that. If you have not gotten your copy of Package Your Genius, 5 steps to build your most powerful personal brand. If you enjoyed this podcast at all and are looking for any tactical steps to put yourself out there, you owe it to yourself to get a copy of the book. It's phenomenal. I was literally laughing earlier because I was looking for a quote to put in a social media post. And my husband was talking to me and I was just like kind of flipping through the book and I found this quote and I was like, oh my God, do you ever just read your book and think this is good? And he kind of got mad at me because he thought I wasn't listening to him. I was listening to him. I was multitasking. But anyway, if you don't have the book, you're missing out. It's phenomenal. If you do have the book and you've enjoyed it, I would love your review on Amazon. With that, I guess I'll talk to you guys next week. Thanks for listening. Bye.